joining us today. I've got my eye right now on New York City because DHS Secretary Kristi Noem, she's a very busy woman. She is about to hold a press conference in New York City. We don't know if she's going to be talking about the shooting that happened yesterday, give us any more additional details. But we got our eye on the room, and I'll bring it to you when it begins because that is important for us to see if we learn anything new. So when she gets to the podium, we'll play it for a couple of minutes and see if she talks about the shooting. Obviously, that's something that we all want to talk about. So we'll bring it to you when it begins. Mark Mitchell will be joining us in the third hour of the program, which I'm excited about because he's got a lot to discuss and a lot he wants to sound off on. He's got a lot of incredible polls, too, that I think the timing of these polls is actually pretty impressive. They always know how to like hit the news cycle right when it's hot and to get these polls out when you want to hear about them the most. So he'll be joining me in just a few moments. We are also going to be, well, I guess I'm just waiting at this point, but President Trump is going to be taking a group photo with all of his U.S. attorneys. That's actually happening right now over at the White House. Once I get that email, I will share with you those photos. Why not? Why not? So a lot happening over here. We're also going to be taking your calls for the second portion of the show. So if you'd like to join us, feel free to do so. 877-789-2539. That is 877-789-2539. That is a number you're going to want to call. If you want to sound off in regards to the topics we've discussed thus far, obviously it's very, very important to have you on board. So something you want to talk about, you got to give us a call. Again, we're going to be covering all these stories. And Mark Mitchell has a bunch of really important polls out right now that we're going to be getting to specifically, though. If you want some topic overview, he's going to be talking about fraud and how many Americans think that the fraud issue in Minnesota is a big issue, of course. And it's good for us to kind of hear that because, well, we want to know. We want to know how Americans feel, especially heading into midterms. Is this a top priority? Because right now for the Trump administration, they're hyper-focused right now on Minnesota and California when it comes to fraud. So Mark Mitchell is going to join me to elaborate a little bit on that. He'll also be joining me to discuss another issue that the Trump administration is really focused on. That's Venezuelan oil tankers. You know, I played that clip for you earlier in the show about Pete Hegseth, the Department of War Secretary, detailing what took place yesterday, which I thought was really important for us to get to that point. But they've actually just polled how Americans feel on the oil tankers. And well, it's something you want to listen in on, so stay put there. But folks, like I mentioned, we're going to be taking your call this portion of the show. You'll see that we'll be doing it probably around, I don't know, maybe in like 25 minutes. So if you want to join the show, 877-789-2539. Again, that's the number you're going to want to call if you'd like to join the show. And I'm trying my very best to get to all the callers. I always aim for perfection. So make sure you head on over and give us a call if you'd like to join us. Maybe sound off on the things that are going on right now in Minnesota, maybe California, and other places as well. I don't know if anyone saw this story, but there was a LA man who apparently was trying to shoot at the helicopters of police. The video is kind of wild because they are actively trying to arrest him. I don't know what he thought he was doing there. Obviously, it's very dangerous. It's obviously very, it's going to be my thing all day, low IQ. But when you engage in low IQ activity like this, well, someone's going to take a bite out of you. And that somebody's a little cute pooch who decided to help his former, well, his colleagues. Los Angeles police released their dog on the crazed gunman. And thankfully, the dog is okay. But the dog did bite him. And, you know, he got a little injury from the bite, whatever. But police did also shoot at him. And he wasn't really shot, though. But the dog did apparently bite him in both the shoulder, the arm, and the leg. So I guess that's good. Not so much for the dog, though. Poor pup. Give him a bonus. Give him a bonus. All right, folks, we got more to discuss in just a little bit. Don't go anywhere. Again, we have an incredible sale. A couple more hours left over at thealexjonesstore.com. So head on over there right now. When you purchase a supplement, you can pick. Do you want some atomic defense? Maybe help you as we go into flu cold season. We're actually not even going into it. We're kind of there now. Or do you want some Shilajit gummies? Well, that's what you get when you make a purchase right now over at the shop when you purchase a supplement. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal, third hour of the program. And we're keeping our eye right now on DHS. DHS press secretary, or I should say, the spokeswoman, Trish McLaughlin, is at the podium right now, just detailing who's going to speak at the press conference. Kristi Noem, though, is going to be speaking in a few moments. She's obviously the DHS secretary. We're looking to hear from her. Maybe they've got some new information regarding the shooting that took place yesterday. But right now, this press conference is being held in New York City. So we'll see and wait for that to begin. Trisha McLaughlin, this woman's an absolute patriot, by the way. If you don't follow her on X, make sure you do. She's based. She doesn't care about the left's narrative, and she's fearless. She's fearless. They even actually tried going after her. As many of you guys know, she gets constant amount of death threats. But she's fearless. She's not backing down anytime soon. And she's also beautiful. So why not go there? Trish McLaughlin, great woman. All right. So we're keeping our eye on a lot. Let me talk about the polls right now. You see, when it comes to the polls about how Americans truly are feeling when it comes to the fraud, well, a lot of Americans are fired up over it. But J.D. Vance was talking yesterday to Fox News, and in clip 19, he's kind of alluding to that this is actually bigger than just Minnesota. Take a listen.
I believe, Jesse, we're going to have some very big announcements on this stuff in the next couple of days. I don't want to get ahead of the president on anything, but we believe that there is a nationwide fraud ring that's rooted in illegal aliens and others taking advantage of the American welfare system. We're going to get to the root of it, and anybody who's involved is going to get prosecuted.
So it's likely bigger than we've already been talking about. No surprise there. Rasmussen Reports just put out a new poll, and it says that 53% of likely U.S. voters believe it is likely that the amount of fraud in just Minnesota alone, the federal funding programs, well, it's probably more than $1 billion. Joining me to discuss all things related to the fraud in Minnesota and how Americans truly feel about this, Mr. Mark Mitchell. He's the head pollster for Rasmussen Reports, good friend of the program. And, Mark, you guys are sifting through all the really important stories that Americans want to talk about. But I'm really interested in this one because, you know, we're focused on the fraud. And I want to know how Americans feel about this as we head, obviously, get closer and closer to midterms. Is this a top priority for Americans? So break down these latest numbers.
Yeah, not only that, I think it's probably the biggest gift that the Republican Party has been given since DOGE. To kind of rewind, you know, Donald Trump's third campaign, was very different from the first two. The first one was like, hey, we're going to build a wall. We're going to hold China accountable. We're going to drain the swamp. This one was, we are your retribution, and we are going to return a golden age to America. And that's very different. And it's also a lot less specific. But then when he started this term, everybody said, wow, he means it. Look at this. There are federal workers crying and suicide watch is trending in Washington, D.C. And all of these people have to respond to this email or they get the axe. And we're going to audit Fort Knox. And we might even go after the Fed. And we're going to take a look at the finances at the Department of Defense. It was wild. And what it did was it actually captured the zeitgeist of the youth. For the very first time, Republicans actually had the youth vote. We had a 60% job approval rating with the under 40 voters, and that should have redefined all of politics in Washington, D.C., and obviously it didn't. In fact, it would appear, that, this is my belief, that the Republican Party ran DOGE out of Washington, D.C. on a rail because they didn't want the funding cut. They wanted their one big beautiful bill that was, okay, it had some executive orders in it. But at the end of the day, it was a big 3,000 page Washington, D.C. spending bill. Like, that's what it was. That's what these reconciliation bills are going to continue to be. And so that was a really big blow to the Trump administration, because after DOGE, I think we can all admit the last 6 months kind of, haven't been quite what we've been expecting. There's been a lot of dalliances overseas, a lot of time spent with people like Lindsey Graham and billionaires, and not a lot of focus on the core fundamental problems we have in America, which is that Donald Trump was elected because people don't trust the federal government. Those numbers have gotten worse. He has not drained the swamp. It has gotten worse. And the American dream, and Donald Trump, as we know from November and December, was trying to do an end zone dance way before we got there. And so you're not just going to be able to pick the stock market numbers and say we're there.
Yeah.
And so, in my opinion, the wheels have kind of fallen off, and his numbers sort of reflect that. He's at a negative 9% net approval rating as of yesterday, and that puts him below where he was in the first term, when he has objectively, in my opinion, accomplished more than the first term, but this is a different America. And so now all of a sudden this drops in your lap. Well, look at that. Some kid with an iPhone goes to Minnesota and does the work of all of the federal agencies, every state and local law enforcement group in Minnesota, and all of the multi-billion dollar mainstream media journalist organizations. Like, all of those people have been completely put to shame by independent journalists on X. And here we have this validation again for the American people that this whole thing is this Ponzi scheme full of grift. And so it's awful hard to talk about cutting people's entitlements, cutting social safety nets, when there is implied hundreds of billions of dollars of grift, and people know this. And so here it is. This is the biggest opportunity. And there were two other really important findings in this poll. Agree or disagree with this statement, the fraud reported in Minnesota is just the tip of a very large iceberg of fraud involving federally funded programs nationwide. And we got a 61% number on that agreeing. Only 12% strongly disagree. And the under 40 voters is pulling the numbers up. It's basically 2/3 of everybody under 40 agrees. Oh, yeah. Obviously, it's way worse than this. Every state is doing it. We all know it. And the level of anger in waste, fraud, and abuse has gone up since the spring. It's gone from 72% to 75% now, very high among the under 40 voters. And so these people just want this system frigging fixed. And I think that my advice for Donald Trump is to use this. If you can't govern with Republicans, if you can't get that malfeasant, negligent party to actually legislate good legislation that Americans want, then at least between now and November, raid every single blue city. You know, let's federalize their police forces. Let's declare martial law. Let's, you know, if there's a hurricane that causes $10 billion of property damage in Florida, we call in FEMA and declare a federal emergency. Why isn't this a federal emergency? Why, why aren't we putting troops in there? And here you have Waltz, who has criminal implications, and he's out there saying, well, we're going to bring the National Guard in to try and get rid of these federal ICE agents that should be there. And it's getting wild. And so, I mean, if it has to accelerate, I think that it's necessary in order to give people the retribution, I think the right word is probably brutal government reform that they expected and they haven't gotten any of.
You know, Mark, it's kind of crazy because you and I wouldn't normally be advocating for the federal government to step in and start, be a bigger government. I mean, but the reality of it is we have people right now who are the left, Democrats, who are doing their very best to prevent the only real thing that the government should be doing, which is protecting the American people, right? Joe Biden shuffled millions of unknown individuals into our country. And we know a lot of these people are murderers, rapists, and child predators. And of course, Democrats find themselves advocating for them. And they really just don't have any shame in that. But, you also have another poll up on your website right now. And it says that when you guys ask likely voters about how they feel about the United States and whether it's heading in the right direction, 40% says it's likely heading in the right direction, if I've got that correct. So can you break that down for us and how this all lines up?
So this is one we've been tracking because the second Trump administration was breaking all of the right direction records. Mm-hmm. America has gotten so bad that this most recent Trump campaign really gave people what they wanted. And again, it was non-specifics, but basically a uniparty ruling kleptocracy that occupies Washington, D.C., has basically stolen the American middle class from the taxpayer donkey and shipped it overseas and given it to literally every other country on earth. We're subsidizing people in every continent, the American taxpayer. Mm-hmm. And all of it is enabled by this corporate capture, this corporate welfare, and this unholy alliance of big corporations and government that hasn't worked for Americans. And people don't fundamentally know that, but like I kind of do. But it shows up in the polling when all of a sudden, just in the last 5 years, you know, Americans used to say, well, you know, I'm better off than I was 4 years ago by a majority. And people used to say, well, today's children will have it better off than their parents. And that flipped. Like, it's not there anymore. And so there's an aspect of like Maslow's hierarchy of needs where all of a sudden Americans' basic needs aren't being fulfilled. And it changes politics. Because all of a sudden, they're not going to put up with things that look like other people's interests are being put first, like regime change in Iran. It's not going to be popular, and people probably support regime change in Iran. But if that's what you spend your political capital on and not talking about these core fundamental problems, then you're going to lose. And those problems are the oligarchy has destroyed the American economy for most Americans. And our government has been taken over by people with no principles who are unaccountable, period. And so, right direction, that itch was getting scratched. We were setting records. We had 37 consecutive weeks of right direction over 40. And for the very first time, again, back when Trump was like doing Liberation Day and when we were hacking apart the government, we actually got a one weekly reading where for the very first time, a majority of Americans said the country was headed in the right direction. So now this 40 number, it's been flirting back and forth with, we lost 40. And when we lost, it was after the November 2025 cycle. Donald Trump was, you know, hugging Bibi Netanyahu and fighting with mainstream media journalists over the affordability hoax. And it didn't look good. Like all of November was basically a complete debacle. That's when we lost the 40% right direction number. It's still kicking around there. And again, I'm not trying to say that Trump's political capital is spent or that he can't recover. But we're staring down the barrel of a pretty close election next fall. It's probably a miracle that it isn't a bigger Democrat lead right now. It's only Democrat plus four. And Republicans actually could win this because for the very first time, again, they had the right platform. But the combination of a Republican legislature and a Republican presidency is not working out. They aren't unable to address these problems in a way that resonates with Americans and gives Americans confidence that this combo can actually govern. And they really can't. They have really done nothing. And I know there's limitations. I think Americans are kind of begging for people to burn these sacred cows and play fast and loose with the rules. You know, I'm a Constitution guy, but to be honest with you, it's not a suicide pact. And I don't think the under 40 voter would like the country to implode on principle. They want their America back. They want principles. And that means people that need to be held accountable. That's the problem, is that there is no accountability anymore for our elected leaders. And I hate to distill it down to arrests. But if there are no arrests, like if a Republican mandate is not adequate to reform our government, then we're pretty much lost. Like that's pretty much it. We're going down a dark path. And I don't, I understand there's limitations. I understand that, okay, that maybe they won't get convicted in a court of law in Washington, D.C. But if that's the case, if our judicial system is that far gone that these people can never be held accountable, then I kind of think you have a moral obligation to highlight that it's already gone for the voters, because anything else is lying, right? Lying by omission. And that's where we're at. And so if you need to arrest a whole bunch of people knowing that they're going to walk, but at least it gets the evidence out there, at least people see that our criminal justice system doesn't work, that's the kind of thinking that I think we need to see out of the Republican Party, who has hamstringed themselves time and time again by stupid laws and rules that make sense to people in Washington, D.C. But at the end of the day, people's basic needs are not being met. Yeah. You know, I mean, like any one of these metrics – a 40-year-old first-time median homebuyer age? Like, what are we even doing here?
Yeah.
And the job market, I mean, people can thump their chest about the unemployment rating, but everything I'm seeing on the higher end of the job market for younger people is that there's nothing out there. It's all been sent overseas. It's all H-1Bs. The competition is completely, like, super intense for high-salary jobs. And we have, like, more people with degrees than ever. They can't find jobs. That's the worst thing, because that's what makes conservatives. That's what makes a normal country. You get an American, give them a degree, get them a high-paying salaried corporate job. They're going to buy a house. They're going to raise kids. And you have Elon Musk thumping his chest about why won't Americans procreate? They can't afford a house, bro. You gave their jobs to Indians. Like, it's perverse. And the system is so rotted, and it needs to be corrected. And I don't get the feeling, listening to Trump, that he understands how bad it actually is.
Yeah, this is the problem with little bubbles, right? Because I feel like he's got a very protective bubble around him, and a lot of this stuff doesn't make its way into his inner circle. And I think Americans are fed up. And when we watch the rise of communist politicians all across the United States, it's because this younger demographic is pulling for the absolute worst, people who are just simply addressing their concerns, which is affordability. And it's so frustrating to see, because there is a legitimate argument to be made about the affordability crisis here in the United States. And, you know, we heard J.D. Vance earlier in the show. We played a clip of him saying that, you know, if we just deport these illegal aliens and we carry through with mass deportations, that the housing costs will go down, the living costs will go down. Mark, I don't actually see that being a drastic dip that the American people really need at this point. It just seems like everything's been so inflated through several different, I mean, there's so many different ways. There's not just one avenue for it. You know, you could sit there and blame the pandemic, you could blame other things, but you could blame, you know, companies like BlackRock. But the reality of it is there's so many leading causes to all of this. Do you think that the leading cause is mass migration? Because that's where J.D. Vance is pointing this to.
I mean, I think it helps, obviously, and I don't like it because it feels like a limited hangout, because obviously the H-1B program is way, way, way worse.
Yeah.
But also the H-1B program is a sacred cow in Washington, D.C. The big business Republican wing of the party loves it. They have literally gotten rid of unions, and now we have a bottomless well of infinite scab labor from the third world. And it has suppressed wages for 20 or 30 years. And I know just personally from my own experiences in corporate America, illegal aliens didn't do this to me. India did. And, you know, India is now writing nasty articles about the things I say about them online, because so few people are willing to call them out because they're afraid that they're going to be completely shut out of corporate America. I guess I'm unemployable now. But it is a scam. I mean, I've worked in Walmart. If you just look at it economically, if you deport one illegal alien, you know, that's like 1/10 of deporting a Walmart senior engineering developer, right? Like just economically. And so like, let's send them back. It would be, I think, a much bigger impact. It would certainly crash the housing market. Look at Silicon Valley is like 66% Asian. And they have the highest real estate prices in the country, and it's all H-1B labor. Now, I think also, though, America is understanding as far as, again, I laid it out for the White House as like, there's really two things that you have to do. And one is actually have a pragmatic solution for our economy that is not democratic socialism. Because that's kind of the default position of the younger voter, is that if they can't get the Republican Party to actually address or fix these problems, they're just going to vote Democrat socialist because they kind of already are. Like, they're already there and they want Trump to succeed, but I don't think there's a lot of confidence he is right now. I think that they will give a benefit of the doubt as long as they're talking about things the right way, which is like, hey, it's going to take years to fix this, but at least here's our plan and it makes sense and we're going to do X, Y, and Z, and it might take us longer to do the rest of this stuff, but keep voting for Republicans because the Republican Party is now the party of the middle-class worker. That's very easy messaging, but Trump has not been able to do that because he hangs out with billionaires. And I think J.D. Vance has been able to, but you still feel this pushback and limitation. The H-1B thing, we're talking about almost every Fortune 100 company has gone long the H-1B, to the extent where I even wonder what would happen if it really pops off with China and Russia. You know, India is part of the BRICS, and they kind of de facto have control of the engineering organizations of most of our major corporations in a way where sabotage could just be absolutely brutal. And, you know, again, these are not people who are on the pathway to American citizenship. They're exploiting a U.S. economic zone and then basically remitting $40 billion a year on top of the $100, $120 billion a year in offshoring that happens there. And then the other is, again, brutal, visible government reform. And unfortunately, I don't think America is going to wait much longer for this one. The numbers, again, just keep going up. And especially the younger voters, I think they're going to turn on Trump. And, you know, these people are really good at spotting inauthenticity. He did say many times retribution and revenge. And remember, he started like his one of his debates against Hillary Clinton. You would be in jail. And so for 10 years to dangle this carrot in front of the Republican voter and say, yeah, you know, I see that the system's corrupt. We do have a deep state. There are all these people that are fraudulent. And for not a single arrest, like James Comey just doesn't cut it. You know what I mean? We have Stacey Abrams out there considering whether she's going to run or not in Georgia. Like, what are we even doing? Didn't she have some fat $2 billion grift that we talked about in February and then everybody forgot about? Mm-hmm. And what about Act Blue? Act Blue is going to have $3 billion going into the 2026 cycle. Trump's raging about they're going to impeach him again. I don't really think that matters, but it seems to matter to him. And it's like, okay, you're going to lose Congress. They're going to impeach you. But we haven't done anything about the $3 billion that Act Blue is going to raise in the 25 and 26 calendar years. They're going to finish this year, I think, at $1.8 billion. Mm. And so at the end of the day, I mean, unfortunately, the younger voter particularly doesn't really care about the rules and limitations. They just want drastic action. They don't really give a crap about party. They don't care about ideology, and which is kind of wild. It's like you see some of these influencers, and you know all these names too, but some of them are part of the holy war. They are part of the Trump's a dictator and we have to protest ICE. You know, you can carve those people out, but then who's left is a lot of open-minded independent people who are actually kind of economic leftists. Mm-hmm. They really are. That's why Bernie appeals to them. And some of them are more, you know, socially conservative. Some of them aren't. Some of them are just brutally independent. Like, you have your shoe on heads, you have your Asmund Golds, you have people like this. And what they all agree on is that they just want to see the brutal fist of justice. They don't want a world where these protesters can get paid to attack our own federal agencies. And they don't understand why things haven't been happening faster. And it gets to the point where I think Trump's like tweets are starting to damage him. Like, how many more True Social posts is he going to put out there against Ilhan Omar before people? I mean, they're already kind of starting to laugh about it. You know, I mean, like, why are we still talking about her after 5 or 6 years? I think Republicans just partnered with Democrats to shut down disclosing some of the information about her that could aid in her deportation.
Yeah.
And so you look at the like Congress, and it's just like, who do you have? You have Comer. Like, who else is doing anything?
Yeah.
You have Comer out there referring people for prosecution over this fraud, and nobody else is doing freaking anything. And he was the AutoPen scandal guy. And, you know, where is even the J6 commission we were supposed to have?
Yeah, it's a
we're
little
going to have.
Yeah, no, Mark, I mean, you're spot on. This is the problem, though. We have people now who are coming out of these government positions telling us that we can't ask these serious questions. We can't really demand accountability, because who are we to ask for accountability? Well, we are the U.S. taxpayers. We are the ones who vote and elect these people. We're so motivated to sit there and get to the bottom of all this corruption that we, in fact, elected the one individual who was addressing all of it and was telling us that this was a top priority for him. So, Mark, I'm all on board with you on this one, and we need to call it out. We need to be aggressive on this front. Mark Mitchell, you do an incredible job as the head pollster over at Rasmussen Reports. You've got your finger on the pulse, and that's the reason why they invited you over to the White House. They wanted to hear what the American people think and how they're polling, and yours are always accurate. That's the reason why you were invited to the White House to talk with all of the most powerful people right now in this administration. So, Mark Mitchell, thank you for joining us as always. You are always very insightful, and we appreciate your time as always. So thank you, my friend. All right, guys, we got our eye
on
what's happening over in New York City with the DHS secretary. We'll let you know when Kristi Noem begins to speak, and we'll start taking your calls. I see the phone lines are blowing up, so we'll get to the calls in just a moment. So buckle up. We got more to discuss in just a bit.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
The problem is, this is when the globals can knock the power up and blame the Russians or whoever. They've already pre-programmed that. This is when they could set off a TAC nuke, try to shoot down Air Force One with surface-to-air missiles, blame Iran. This is the globalist color revolution that they've done hundreds of times around the world. Hundreds since 1947. Operation Ajax, Operation Gladio. The list goes on and on. I just keep saying, danger, danger, mortal danger to the country. Mortal danger to your future. I mean, I can physically feel the anxiety and electricity shooting up and down my body and the palpable, not fear, because that's not the feeling I feel, the feeling of ready to fight. And I'm fighting in the information war. I have electricity feeling in my teeth right now. I have to make myself not bare my teeth and bug my eyes out right now as I address you, because that's what I feel like. You want war? But I understand it's informational. So that's where I am right now. But I just showed you who I am. That's what I feel like every second right now. That's the urgency. Fauci and Gates and Schumer and Newsom want to destroy our future. You want us to live in bondage. You want to cut our children's penises off. You Satanist! I'm just telling you, I've never felt so much urgency. My spider sense has never even close to this much on fire. Ugh. My cells tell me I'm in a war, and to gird myself for it, and to guard myself for truth. Because we are up against the scum of the earth that will give us no quarter. This is an endless war, a fight between good and evil. And in this cycle, good is rising and good is winning, and evil can feel it in its bones. And it is rising to the challenge.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Now, back to our program.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on board with us. Kristi Noem just made her way to the podium in New York City. Let's listen in to see if she talks about the shooting yesterday in Minneapolis.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here. I'm Kristi Noem, the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security. And today we're here to talk about an operation that's been going on for several months. In fact, after an incident happened here in New York City, that brought us to a point where we recognized that we had to work together in order to bring illegal criminal aliens to justice. Nearly 6 months ago, two criminal illegal aliens attacked an off-duty Customs and Border Protection agent and his friend while they were sitting on a rock in a park. After hours, enjoying the evening together, these two criminals came and attempted to rob them, and it ended up where they bravely fought back. This officer defended himself and his friend, but not before being shot in the face and in the arm by one of these criminals. Immediately after, the men and women of the Homeland Security investigations worked with NYPD, leading to the arrest of that gunman in just 2 hours. Within 28 hours, the second assailant was arrested as well, and those individuals have been brought to justice. But those individuals would have never been in this country if they hadn't been allowed in by the Biden administration when they ignored our federal laws and allowed them to come in illegally. Now, the officer that was injured doesn't seek public attention. He wishes to remain anonymous, but he had a distinguished career and a legacy of service and continues to do so. But his life was forever altered by this heinous crime. His attackers never should have been in this country, and they've been protected and were protected up until that point by sanctuary city policies. In fact, they had long criminal rap sheets and were released by the Biden administration and continued to be released by leaders in this city to perpetuate crimes against the citizens that live here. During our investigation, we learned that these scumbags were affiliated with a transnational criminal organization, the notorious Trinitarius gang in New York. We began to target every single last person that is affiliated with them and recognized that they needed to be brought to justice. The American people deserve dignity, they deserve justice, and we deliver both. So we launched Operation Salvo here in New York City. Operation Salvo was a cooperation of the resources of CBP, HSI, ERO, and also the federal prosecutors from the Southern District of New York. The New York County District Attorney's Office also participated in this operation. We've arrested 54 individuals as a part of Operation Salvo since its inception just a few months ago. Those arrested are violent transnational gang members.
Let me zip in on this. That's obviously good news. I remember the footage that was shared with the public. The individual was literally just sitting on a rock looking at the water with another person next to him when they tried to rob him. So thankfully he is okay. But let's start jumping into some calls. I do see that we do have a long list of callers. So let's kick things off. Let's turn to Jordan in New Jersey. Jordan, welcome to the show.
I just wanted to call. I'm from Minneapolis. I was born there. I grew up in New Jersey, but we always had strong connections with the area. We had friends and, basically family that were so close that had to leave the area because they basically said this before it was even a term that was used, called invasion, where their community was taken over basically by Somalis. Mm-hmm. They had to leave the community because of mostly crime, and they were being intimidated constantly. And I think we've seen clips of this recently. It's funny that you brought up the water in Minnesota issue, okay? Mm-hmm. I was born with a birth defect, right? It took me years to understand what it was, but it was tied directly to the extraordinary, like 15 times even what the EPA allows of atrazine in water that is being dumped into the Minnesota water supply because of all the agricultural production. And in those areas, you'll see increased birth defects, high numbers of transgender people, and so forth. So there is scientific evidence that actually supports what you said earlier. All you have to do is go to, any search interface, even Google, and put atrazine levels and put Minnesota water supply, and you'll see some very damning reports from a whole host of environmental groups about the levels in these areas. Also notable, Nebraska has a huge transgender population. And their, corn production and stuff and the use of atrazine is way off the charts.
Yeah. So what's the reasoning for it, though? The chemical being in the water, is it intentionally being placed there or is it a runoff from something else?
Well, it's used in agriculture production, but it was banned in Europe in 2003. They haven't used it since 2003. Mm-hmm. And you know who owns the patent now for atrazine? The National Chinese Chemical Company.
Oh.
Syngenta. Who went after Tyrone Hayes, mm-hmm. who exposed this. Alex has shown these clips of Mr. Hayes discussing what it does to the frogs and so forth. So the fact that, it's still in use in this country should be looked into by, Robert Kennedy, mm-hmm. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., frankly. And I think that, you know, any area that uses in high amounts, you'll see South Africa is also known for this. And other places, you have these huge transgender numbers, Thailand, the use of this chemical is off the charts. So there is a correlation. It's scientifically provable in clinical studies. And the agribusiness people would never, you know, their control over the Congress and legislators have caused this to be an ongoing issue. I'm trying to develop pamphlets, books, and other things to bring it to the fray. I might be suing some people myself upon the discovery of some problems I've had in life as a result of this poisoning. So there is a basis for this. Also, I want to state before I leave you, Governor Walz has to be looked into as to his involvement as to these local protesters and what they told the local police. If they told local police to stand down, they're the ones that should have been moving people off the streets. Okay. And that's the bottom line. The immigration people were kind of, you know, they had no choice because they don't have any local support. So they're put in this unenviable position. And so that is has to be brought out and highlighted to say that, well, you told your own local police to stand down and not interject amongst these protesters. You're responsible for their death. You, Governor Walz, mayor, you know, the mayor of Minneapolis. OK, he let all people die in 2020. These people have to be brought to justice and thrown in jail. And we're still trying to figure out who killed, all right, the legislative leader, okay, and that whole thing. There's been no local prosecutions. And once again, like I say every time I speak to you and I start, I'm sorry to sound like a broken record, the local federal prosecutors and the DOJ is completely compromised to where we can't get control over these people that are basically paid through the NGOs and people like Soros to sit here and to destroy these local communities from the inside out in a Clower and Piven type strategy. So until that is done, you're going to continue to see this. And there's limitations as to what the federal government can do. And so there has to be local fraud investigations. So I just want to bring that up and share some of that with you. And I urge everybody to look into, you know, this atrazine issue, which Alex used to be very vocal on. But he you know, he's been doing other stuff and hasn't spoken about it basically in many years. But it's a huge health problem, and the transgender crisis and all this other stuff. There are actually people that do have chromosomal damage that do, you know, that need to be addressed. There's a scientific problem there. But
Jordan, we're going to keep looking into that because, no, I am with you on that. There's definitely something fishy in the water. Or I'll stop doing that. But no, Jordan, I do appreciate your insight and I appreciate you calling in. It's something that definitely needs to be looked into. And I always feel like a broken record when I talk about the no arrest being made as well. So I'm with you on there, my friend. Thank you for calling. As always, we appreciate it. Let's turn to Joshua in New Hampshire. Joshua, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are we doing?
Good, how are you?
Good. I just wanted to kind of caveat that these callers are amazing. So yeah, it's funny. It's hard to sit back and say, oh, the people in New York voted for Mamdani when we know elections are stolen. Oh, these people are low IQ, transgender people when we know we're all being poisoned by pesticides and herbicides. But the reason why I called in today, sorry, for construction, I just had to run over to the room to grab my phone. So the way you guys are covering this story, I feel could go either way. We don't have enough evidence, but looking at the two videos you guys were playing on repeat yesterday, I do think there is some standing on her freaking out and wanting to escape. Because if you look at the position of her tires, she has turned full cock to the right when she starts to accelerate away from the officers. And then the damning part, which I don't want to say this because as former, you know, well, no former Marines, but as a Marine veteran myself, I know the sacred oath and I stand with these officers and I want deportations. But if this is protocol and training to sort of lean into a vehicle as it starts to move, and his firearm was already drawn before she started moving as well. If you keep replaying those videos, you can see that. So that was just my take. I feel it can go either way. I think she's dumb for going out and doing this stuff and putting herself in harm's way like that. Peacefully protesting is off the side of the road with a sign, not trying to block the road with your car. But I do think law enforcement are on such high edge that they're kind of able to overstep boundaries, where if we flip the roles and it was Biden's Gustafa trying to round up J6ers for no reason, and we went out and peacefully protested and they shot us in the same scenario, we would have a different take on it.
Yeah, so I want
to... I think we need to kind of break it down legally.
Yeah, well, and I would break it down based on the officer's perspective. You're talking about the tires and how you see them because you're watching the video as it's being filmed from a sidewalk. But the officer who is the agent, who's the one who's doing the shooting, he doesn't see the tires. So he doesn't see her turning the tires like you're describing to the right. So he wouldn't have that perspective. He would have the perspective of the cars coming straight at me. And I'm telling, and I hear my partner telling her to stop and get out of the vehicle. And instead, it looks like from my perspective, she's driving at me with my gun drawn. So they have a very limited perspective there. So I would go based on the officer's perspective. Yeah, she could speak, you could say that she's trying to drive away and she's not angling at the officer. But again, he doesn't see her tires and what direction she's trying to turn them in. She shouldn't even be in this position in the first place. This isn't the natural situation that most Americans would find themselves in. And from the, you know, I know you bring up the J6ers. You know, J6ers were having their homes raided. And, you know, we didn't hear about J6ers turning a gun on officers. We didn't hear them trying to escape by jumping in their car to mow down officers. FBI agents said that they were trying to be arrested. We saw all these videos, even one of the J6ers being arrested at a shopping center. And when he was instructed to stop, he did just that. And he followed the officers' steps, what they were giving him. So I think there's a massive difference between those on the left and those on the right. Because when we are in those situations, when we do see rogue agencies from our perspective, which was the FBI under the Biden regime, and still we haven't seen those corrections to what most people probably would say is to our liking. The reality of it is from the perspective of those who are in this situation. They have a split second to make that decision. This officer, this agent, was someone who we've heard the secretary, DHS secretary, Kristi Noem, say that back in June, he was dragged by another individual who did the same exact thing. So that image is still very fresh in his mind that he was dragged based on a situation that was very similar to this. This woman made a conglomerate of just bad decisions. And to compare how J6ers were treated, I don't see it. I think it's a bit of a reach from my perspective here. I think that she made a bunch of bad decisions. She decided to use her car as a way to block them from doing their jobs. And we never saw a J6er do just that. The worst it got was for Ashley Babbitt, who we can compare that to, because obviously she was murdered in the Capitol, but she was doing an unauthorized tour. She wasn't armed. She wasn't aggressively approaching. You know, you could say that she was crawling into a space that she shouldn't have been in. Okay, yes. Yes, I would say that she shouldn't have been there, but a warning or a quick pushback would have done the job efficiently because she was not a threat. And the officer that day, too, Byrd, didn't even notice that there was other officers coming in behind that he could have shot and killed them as well. So that was a reckless situation. So I see it a bit differently. I think that the perspective of the officer who did shoot, good. I think that his perspective is seeing a car coming at him. And I'm sure he had some body cam footage. And I would love to see what he saw that day so we could all kind of understand that perspective. But again, that has to do with the missing footage that we haven't seen yet, Josh, that you alluded to as well. So I just wanted to bring that up. But let's go back down to another call. And Joshua, thank you for calling in. We appreciate it. Let's turn to Tim in California. Tim, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Brianna. Good morning. And based on your excellent coverage this morning, I said to myself, well, I can't help but remind everyone, driving is not a right. It is a privilege that the state giveth and taketh away. It's not like breathing air. You have to fulfill some requirements, although not to get a commercial driver's license in California. I guess you can just show up and get one of those. But anyways, no, this morning I saw Department of Homeland Security release the numbers from January 20th to November 18th. So about 10 months worth of data for vehicle ramming attacks on ICE and CBP officers. And it was 99 against federal law enforcement, 71 against CBP, and 28 against ICE. But trying to pretend that this is like, oh, it was an asteroid strike that happened and hit somebody's roof, and oh boy, no, this is going on where people are just a total reckless disregard for their privilege, and they're just using it like a weapon, like, hey, I don't like you, I'm mad at you, and whammo! It's like, that's some video game. You're going to kill somebody like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you explained it, so there you go.
Yeah, Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel bad for these agents. I can't even imagine what they're enduring. I mean, we caught them getting all doxxed. It was both DHS, we saw on the black web or dark web, as they call it, FBI, and other DOJ as well. And all of their names, their addresses, everything was posted online. So, again, like, they're all in fear for their lives, and rightfully so. So I don't really I have a level of empathy for them rather than the people that are out there doing this. If you put yourself in this situation, that's on you. But the vehicle rammings, the attacks that are being taken place, I mean, just imagine if she had people in the backseat of the car, and as soon as they cut off these agents, they were ambushed, and three or four people jumped out of the back and just started opening fire on those agents, and they're stuck in a car. I mean, there's just so many different perspectives from here that you could, or I guess you should say angles of all of this that we could look at. And I understand why they're doing what they're doing. I understand why when you see a car coming at you, your first response is to shoot, because you were just dragged in the street and almost killed 6 months ago. So we see this playing out. And yes, I'm on their side on that one. I am on their side on that one. Thanks for calling, as always, Tim. We appreciate it. Let's turn to Savage Dog in Georgia. Savage Dog, welcome back.
Hey, good morning, Brianna.
Good morning.
All due respect to my brother Marine, Josh, who called, I'm going to give you a movie quote from a Marine movie, Major Payne. If you want sympathy, look in the dictionary between shit and syphilis. I don't care. You could say, you slow down the video 2 seconds. She put it in drive, squealed the tires, was driving straight at him. Let's say her wheel was cocked all the way to the right. She still hit him. I don't care that, PTSD from previous being hit by the car, that's actually not good for him, because they could say, well, he was in distress because of, something happened before. Don't have anything to do with this. But no, she was in the wrong. She used her vehicle as a weapon. He fired to defend himself and other officers and other pedestrians. Let's not forget. Let's say she speeds off and they chase her. Icy roads. Who knows how many people she would have killed. Anyway, the point of this call is Governor Walz, a sitting governor of a state, Minnesota, just declared war on the federal government, officially said, I declare war on the federal government. That's treason. That's insurrection. Get him arrested today. Military tribunal. Don't waste your time with courts and all the bullsniz. No. Arrest him. Military tribunal. Swing him from a rope in Guantanamo. That's what needs to happen. 3 weeks, you're done. This is the biggest threat that I can see, is that a sitting governor declares war. Didn't we fight a whole thing in like the 1860s over some stuff like that? I don't know. What do you think? I mean, that's treason.
Yeah.
That's insurrection.
I'm waiting to see like what's going on right now, because they're still doing the raids, which I love. Like, they're not going to back down. He's using this obviously to divert attention, but I'm with you. Obviously, I want to wait for an entire investigation. There's no way. Okay, right. We talked about it at the beginning of the show too, that they have all taken a knee to the Somalian population in his state, and they're all just like so ecstatic to support Somalians. Again, it's 6 million people who live there, 100,000 Somalians. It never really made any sense as to why they are catering to this demographic exclusively. So there's always been kind of a red flag in my mind. Trials need to happen. We need to, and I'm so fed up with trials not being, by the way, televised. All of them should be. It's 2026. We should be able to see what's going on behind closed doors. But yeah, I'm on board for going out there, charging these people appropriately. But again, I mean, we sit here and say it all the time. You and I both don't have a problem with putting these people on criminal trial. Unfortunately, though, our federal government doesn't seem to be doing all that. They are investigating, though, so I'll give them that. We'll see how it all plays out. But I mean, the fact that Tim Walz is no longer running for re-election tells me that there's probably something there that he doesn't want the public finding out about. And we're getting very, very close to finding that. So, Savage Dog, thank you. I appreciate it as always, my friend. I want to get to at least one more caller before we have to wrap. Let's go to Chad in Minnesota. Chad, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Yeah, I wanted to talk about the conditions here in Minnesota. It hasn't been as bad in the past years, but this year has been absolutely terrible for roads and ice. Everything is ice hardened. It's slick. It's just a nightmare. And it happened over the past 2 or 3 weeks. There's just been a very strange type of weather change throughout the day where you go from being in the 30s and then it drops. And, you know, it's getting a little bit better, a little more average now, but it's still, you wait, if you go to work, you drop your kids off at school, you know, you're seeing there's fog in the air. So the conditions are horrible. So these ICE agents are not only dealing with the Joker Waltz's, you know, crew of vandals now, they've been dealing with these elements. And you can watch in the video of, you know, what happened yesterday, and these agents are slipping all over. If I had the means, I would buy them ice cleats. They need, it's just, it is, I'm not kidding. It's just, the roads, you will slide and rear end somebody if you are not paying attention. So, but the number one thing here to focus in on, and I echo the sentiments of the previous caller, is when you have public officials that are putting the civilians out to do their dirty work. Do you see Jacob Fry or Tim Walz going out and doing anything? And they're preventing their police until it gets escalated. Then they make it look like, okay, we're doing something, but they always hold off. So was this person already, you know, the individual that was shot yesterday, was this person, do we have footage? Was she already blocking traffic prior to that, and they were having enough of it? She, you know, I don't know. Were they thinking she's just going to continue to do so? Are they part of some type of group? The FBI can investigate that, I do believe, and find out. And this terrorist stuff, this domestic terrorism, if they aren't Antifa, okay, well, then what are they? They probably have shifted because now Antifa has that domestic terrorist title to it. And, you know, there's officials that sit on almost, the most recent with Jacob Fry, you'll see Jamal Osman, the Sixth Ward District Representative. And we know, well, I think I've made it clear on a couple of my calls, the background there, that this individual is, it's funny, he's always there. And then when Jacob made the comment about, oh, get the F out of Minneapolis, you'll see that he's the gentleman to the right of the officer, the female officer, our right, her left. And they're both, the two guys are there just going, yeah, yeah, that's right, that's right. This stuff is all incitement.
Yeah.
Get them out of office. It's not our job to go down and protest the protesters that are insane. They are insane down there. We do not forget, this is eight city blocks away from George Floyd.
Yeah, and we saw that all play out. Yeah, Chad, we're tight because we're about to wrap the show up. But Chad, you're 100% right. And it's very, very close to George Floyd. And that's where we're getting all these BLM flashbacks, honestly, at this point. So spot on, Chad. We appreciate you calling in. Everyone else who called in today, thank you so much. We appreciate your time as always. All right, but don't go anywhere. The Alex Jones Show begins in just a few moments.
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't know, and I'm going over there. You financed it. You paid for it. Your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at InfoWars.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the, you know, middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Can I do that? I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Three posters I designed, two I designed, Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King, Make No Peace With Evil, you know, same Crusader King, and then Do Like That Still Image of Me, and it is the bestseller. It's I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy Unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy in a tube, or you get it for $100. You're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens for their hats. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters, and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching at you, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you will be the ones that shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like in Star Trek, Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.